The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, America 2 Hewitt. Joined now by United States Senator Lamar Alexander from the great state of Tennessee. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Great to have you on the program.
Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
I'm terrific. I want to get right to the core of this, though, because yesterday Speaker Ryan said that he prefers the Obamacare stabilization plan put forward by Kevin Brady and your colleague Orrin Hatch to the one that you have been working on with Patty Murray. What's your response to that, Mr. Senator?
Well, my response is that's a step forward because they – Brady and Hatch both see the need for continuing the cost-sharing reduction payments for the next 2 years. That's been the big hang-up for most people. And so for the Speaker to say he prefers that, that's a step forward. Of course, to get a result, you have to get Democratic support as well as Republican, and we've got that in the Senate. So I think we're on our way to a short-term bipartisan agreement by the end of the year that reduces premiums and avoids chaos, and that's a lot of progress in the last 3 weeks.
Now, my first question is, what do Republicans get out of this? Because, they, you know, to sell this deal to the Freedom Caucus, they've got to be able to answer that question fairly quickly and cogently.
Well, the first thing is less money for Obamacare subsidies and more savings for the taxpayer. The Congressional Budget Office said yesterday the Alexander Murray proposal save the taxpayers $3.8 billion. That means less Obamacare subsidies. That's where the savings come from. And if we don't do it, it's $194 billion more in Obamacare subsidies over the next 10 years, according to CBO. So that's the first thing. Second thing is you get the Iowa waiver, and you get the Oklahoma waiver, and you get other waivers that states have asked for to give them more flexibility in giving more choices and lower prices. Third thing you get is a catastrophic health share plan. Health care plan. That means a young person who's healthy and who doesn't want to pay these high prices can have a lower premium, high deductible plan and be able to afford health insurance. That helps everybody else, too, because it brings healthier people into the pool. So those are significant changes. They're the only changes that we've gotten in 7 years to the Affordable Care Act, and we couldn't ever get these changes in a budget bill with 51 votes because they all require 60 votes in the Senate, which means some Democratic support.
Now, Senator, as a longtime critic of Obamacare, the one that appeals to me, the waivers don't much matter to me, but less money for Obamacare, I'm not really trusting of the Budget Act, of the Budget Office. But the catastrophic health plan has a great attraction to me. Would you explain to me where that will be available to people and what you will mandate be in it?
Well, the catastrophic health plan would be available both on the exchanges and off the exchanges. You would not have to pay a penalty it wouldn't cause you to have to pay a penalty because it's not one of the other Obamacare penalties. It does have to have in it the protections on pre-existing conditions and the existing health benefits, but it will be cheaper than what you can buy today. Today in the law, only people 29 or under can buy a policy like that. This takes that cap off. It says anybody of any age can buy it.
How much demand do you think there is for that policy?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office said it should slightly reduce premiums for everybody. I don't know what the demand will be, but I think with the tremendously high prices, for example, in Tennessee, the premiums have gone up 176% in 4 years, another 38% this year. I mean, that's terrifying to people. So if they can find something that's cheaper, even if they have a higher deductible, I think more people will buy it. I can't tell you how many, but I think it's a very attractive option.
Now, the other two things that Republicans want are interstate sale of policies, the reduction of barriers to that, and, of course, they would like the penalty for not buying insurance to go away. Is there any opportunity on those two matters?
Well, on the first, we have in our bipartisan bill steps toward more interstate compacts. For example, if the two Dakotas wanted to go together and form a market, it would make that easier. Or if the New England states want to do it, it would make it easier. So we've got that in there. What was the other one?
The other one is whether or not
on the mandate.
Mandate can be pulled back up.
I'd like to get rid of the mandates. The mandates cost money. Our bill has not only doesn't cost anything, it saves the taxpayer money. When you start taking away the employer mandate or the individual mandate, all of which I'd like to do, you have to come up with a lot of money to pay for it. For example, one of the most attractive things to do would be to delay the collection of money on the employer mandate. A lot of employers are about to get a bill for their employer penalty that wasn't collected in 2015 and 16. Many don't even know it's coming. But to do that costs $5 or $6 billion a year. So we'd have to have an agreement with the administration and Democrats to, and as well as Republicans to find that much money.
So now procedurally, Senator, do you expect to get this out of the Senate before the tax bill is voted on?
No, I don't. I don't think we have time to do that. Plus, senators are still studying it. The president's studying it. I think it's more likely to be done in December with the end of the year legislation. And the most important thing that happened yesterday was the Congressional Budget Office reaffirmed what Senator Murray and I intend, which is that all of the benefits for the cost-sharing payments in 2018 go to consumers or to taxpayers, and they're not to bail out insurance companies. I've talked to the president four times on this. He's called me four times in the last 2 weeks, first time to ask me to do it, and that's his major concern. So I hope this helps persuade him of that.
All right, now let me turn to the tax bill. First of all, your colleague Bob Corker is on MSNBC as we speak. Do you expect Bob Corker to support tax reform?
Well, I can't vote for Bob or any other senator. I know he wants to, and he would tell you if he were there, and I don't think he minds my saying that while he's a deficit hawk, he thinks our $20 trillion federal debt, as I do, is a national disaster. And he made, in his view, some compromise with Senator Toomey to create a framework in which we could do this bill. So I know that he wants to be able to vote for it.
Now, again, he's your friend. He's your co-state. I do not understand how he thinks we're on the verge of World War III and Secretary Tillerson's been kneecapped when he has a hold on all these ambassadors. What is that all about, Senator Alexander? You can't say we're on the verge of World War III and then not send an ambassador to India, Germany, Estonia. He's got holds on all these different people.
He does? I didn't know that. I thought other senators did. He's chairman of the Foreign Relations
Committee. Yeah, it's him.
Most of what he does is to try to get them out. So if that's the case, I didn't know it. I'm not sure that's true.
I do believe it. You can check on that.
If you know it, I'm not going to dispute it.
You can check on that.
I'll go check on it. I hadn't heard that before.
Because these blue slips make me crazy, Senator Alexander. Do you use them?
Well, blue slips are in the Judiciary Committee.
Right.
Judges.
But holds and blue slips are the same thing, you know, basically.
And that's been a tradition in the Judiciary Committee, both with Republican and Democratic senators.
But do you approve of this? Because I think the bigger issue, Senator Alexander, you've been a governor, you've been a presidential candidate, you've been a senator, you've been a secretary, is that the Senate is the source of all dysfunction in Washington, D.C. That is the growing belief. And you've got the best leader of my lifetime in Senator McConnell, but still nothing happens. Is it time to really fundamentally change the rules of the Senate?
Well, you know, everybody thinks the Senate's a senator dysfunction. The president came over and had lunch with us Tuesday, and this is what he said. He said he'd accomplish more, sign more legislation in the first 100 days of his administration than any president since Harry Truman. Well, if that's true, that means the United States Senate is the most productive Senate than any president since Harry Truman in the first 100 days of President Trump's term. Plus, the Senate confirmed Neil Gorsuch. Now, what the Senate is, it slows things down, but you want to slow a lot of things down. There are more bad ideas up here than there are bad apples. And you don't want things running through here just because you've got a majority of the moment who thinks it's a great idea. Otherwise, we'd be rid of the, you know, Lyndon Johnson tried to get rid of the right to work law when he had huge majorities, and Everett Dirksen many years ago stopped him because of the filibuster. So there are things about the Senate that need to work better. Nominations need to go faster, and I've worked on that for years. But we're not the only source of Washington not working. And in fact, according to the president, nobody's had a more productive Senate in his first 100 days since Harry Truman.
Now, we do see Steve Bannon leading a charge against your colleagues. You're not on the ballot. You don't have to worry about this. Bob Corker retiring, Jeff Flake retiring. Roger Wicker probably going to get a challenge. What do you say to people who think that the Senate is in need of top to bottom? I'm not supporting that, by the way. I'm not a Bannonite. I like all these people who are up there, and I'm sorry to see them go. But I understand the frustration.
Well, if you didn't have a Republican majority, you wouldn't have had the bill to fix No Child Left Behind, which the Wall Street Journal said was the biggest devolution of power from Washington to the states in 25 years. You wouldn't have had Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. You wouldn't have President Trump saying that he'd pass more legislation in the first 100 days than anybody. What you would have is you'd have a Senate full of Democratic chairmen investigating President Trump, and you would not have conservatives heading up major agencies in the government having to do with labor, health, education, and other areas who are dramatically changing the way America works. And you would not have had the 14 Obama-era regulations that we overturned, which is 13 more than have ever been overturned before through the Congressional Review Act. So it moves slowly, but you'd be moving rapidly in the other way if we didn't have a Senate majority.
Last question for you, Senator. I just have to ask about this GPS fusion study. This turned D.C. on its head, turned me on its head. It was paid for by Team Clinton, by the DNC. And then it was given by Director Comey to the president-elect. What is going on here? This is weird.
I don't know what's going on. You know more about that than I do, probably. I read a story about that last night. I have no idea what it's about.
All right. I hope you get to the bottom of that one. Senator Alexander,
okay,
good luck.
Thanks for your time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.